Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another pregame edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We are going to get you primed and ready for the Jayhawks Friday night face-off against Big Ten non-conference opponent Illinois. We've got a little bit of everything coming at you in this edition, though. Usually during football season, we stick solely with news from the gridiron, but with basketball recruiting, one of the biggest basketball recruiting weekends we've had in a while, it just wouldn't be right not to get into some hoops recruiting. So we are going to look back at the Missouri State game, talk a little bit about the Illinois matchup, and we will also hear from the Illinois from Doug Wushon of the Rivals Network. Before we get started, I got to tell everybody, if I sound a little muted, if I don't seem as fired up as I normally do, half my team at work has COVID, and I have had chills and the start of sore throat and stuff since I got home this afternoon. So I'm probably going to lay back a little bit and let Shay and JK carry the load on this one. But I will absolutely be sure to try to give a different score than Kirby this week. With that, let me go ahead and bring in my man Shay Wildebor on the men's basketball beat to get us caught up with basketball recruiting. Shay, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, buddy. We got to get you in bed, man. We need to get you pampered up, get your feet up, get bed, get ready for that big Chiefs game tomorrow and a game Friday, man. I'm praying and pulling for you.
I appreciate it, brother. It sounds bizarre, but like, you know, it was 97 degrees yesterday, and all I want right now is a blanket. Right. I am cold. It's absolutely bizarre.
It's miserable being sick, especially when you got to work and people count on this on a daily basis. Man, it's miserable. But I'm Kemper and I are here praying for you, brother, and we hope you get back on your feet again soon.
All right, now let me go ahead and bring our man John Kirby on the Kansas football beat, the publisher of Jayhawk Slant. John, how you doing tonight?
Randy, I'm doing well, man. I'm was out doing all the yard aeration today, all that crap, man. So, I'm tired, but you definitely sound a lot worse than I am tired. So I hope you feel better. You know, and I got to tell you this. My wife told me the other day, she stays in tune all this. And we've got two boys at KU. She said that supposedly, like, COVID's hitting KU's campus pretty hard or something like that. But I don't know. I don't know all those details, but that's what she was telling me.
It's, you know, it's interesting because the hospital I work at, too, we don't have our COVID numbers are nowhere near what they were even, you know, 6-8 months ago. But our doctors are talking about it and they're telling people and be like, hey, be careful, because it is starting to kick back up a little bit.
Huh. I'll be done. I just knew that from my wife. So I hope I know you told me in our text messages that you've had the chills and everything. So I do hope you feel better.
I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and get right into it with some basketball talk. Shay, you know, we couldn't just go football only after Bill Self and the men's basketball coaching staff had one of the biggest recruiting weekends in recent memory. You get one big question on this podcast, okay?
Okay,
fire Shay, away. Get us up to speed with the visitors from last weekend and tell us, give us a synopsis of where things stand with these guys.
Right, and I'm not going to necessarily go in chronological order of where they're ranked, but heading into the weekend where I thought that they would kind of fall on that not necessarily the pecking order, but of maybe of their interest. So number one, obviously, is Jahlil Bethea, the five-star guard from out of Archbishop Wood Catholic High School, number 17th ranked player in America. You guys, if you visited the message boards or you ever kind of listen to what I say, I always thought going into the visit that if there was one guy that was going to pop, eventually it would be him. And I still feel that way. This is a guy that the staff has coveted for a long time. 6'4", 175, really more of a combo guard. But at Rivals, we've got him listed as the number two ranked point guard in America. Then you go down, and this was kind of a surprising, maybe a late addition as far as visit goes. Liam McNeely, originally from Texas, but he's out in Montverde in Florida. And by the way, Montverde is just absolutely loaded. It's sick what Boyle's Kevin Boyle's doing down there. But he's the number ninth ranked player in America, number three ranked small forward. Obviously, Kansas this weekend, been to Indiana a ton. He's going back to Indiana, I believe, this coming weekend, and then he'll take a trip to Texas, I believe, September 22nd. He rounded out with the big boy, Derek Queen, the number 21 ranked player in America, third ranked center in the class. Again, Montverde Academy and Montverde, Florida. And this is a guy, Randy, that I think, here's the deal. This is, and I was talking to a buddy about this today. So you've got Hunter Dickinson on campus, and he's eligible for two more years. That doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it's a possibility. You've already got Flory, the number five ranked player in America, committed. I know the staff wants to bring in another big man. I'm just not sure if dominoes fall the way that I think they might. I mean, I just think that's going to be a tough sell for him. You've already got Hunter, you've got Flory, and he sees himself as a guy that's going to come in right away and make an immediate impact. And I just think with the numbers the way they are right now, I think that's going to be a difficult sell. But huge weekend. I think of the three, I think right now, obviously, Jahlil Bethea is the most likely to commit. And, you know, I've said that for the last couple of weeks right now. I think that he's a guy that not long from now could join the class with Flory.
That would be absolutely amazing. Shea, at this point, what's next? Is there anybody else that you're tracking at this point?
I think the attention turns to Cooper Flagg. Number one ranked player in America, again, from Montverde Academy, 6'8", 195. And I think I said this last time, I'll say it again. You know, I've talked to a couple people who compare him to Larry Bird. I mean, he's a generational player. He's a guy that I think that would come in. And I think when you look at personalities, I think when you look at competitiveness, I think you look at drive. I mean, he's Bill Self's guy. I mean, I think that those two would mesh really, really, really well together, both on and off the court. I'm expecting, and this isn't official, nothing's been said, nothing's been scheduled that I know of, but I'm kind of expecting a late night visit for him with Flo Rida and some other guys. So, yeah, I think right now you get Flory, you've got Flory on board. If you can get a guy like Jahlil, add Cooper Flagg, obviously a generational talent, and then maybe another big man that's not maybe as coveted right now as some of the other guys, and hit the transfer portal, and you've got – I mean, if you can add a Cooper Flagg, I mean, it's like – remember the hype when, like, Andrew Wiggins got here, or Josh Jackson, or Joel Embiid. I mean, those are, like, guys, and we haven't seen that in a long time in terms of, you know, KU being able to bring in that caliber of a player. So I think if you can add a Cooper Flagg with what you've already got and potentially have, it's I mean, the transfer portal is always going to be a big thing, but you can get a Cooper Flagg, a Flory, and then a Jahlil Bethea, and I don't think you're going to find a better class.
Flagg and a Flory, it sounds awful good to me. Shea, we appreciate you hopping on tonight, man. Thanks a lot.
Hey, brother, get better. I'll be thinking about you, Randy.
I appreciate you, sir. That's Shea Wildebor on the men's basketball beat. We're going to go ahead and shift gears. I'm going to bring in my man John Kirby again. Kirby, the Jayhawks started 1-0. Give me your take on the win over Missouri State last Friday.
Yeah, Randy, I thought, and I posted this in my thoughts after the game. I thought it was kind of a tale of two halves, and you know, in the first half, Kansas really was the better team. I mean, when you went to halftime, you said, "Okay, how much longer is this going to go?" Because you could tell Missouri State was still having to work for everything. Things were coming easier to KU, but still, at some point in the second quarter, KU's trailing 10-7. At halftime, they're only up 17-10, right? So, I mean, you're like, okay. And, you know, I was getting texts from people going, man, you know, boy, this isn't what I was picturing. You know, and listen, you know, there's a lot of hype going into the season. So, and then, listen, KU came out. Second half was a totally different game. KU came out and dominated. Missouri State ran 15 plays of offense in the second half. And two of those 15 plays were turnovers. So think about it. That is really 13 plays they've ran. I mean, I wanted to ask Lance Leipold if he ever coached in a game where an opponent ran 13 plays or 15 plays and a half. I mean, that is phenomenal. You know, the big thing that stood out to me, Randy, of the game was Missouri State has really prided themselves on being physical, and they've got a really good running back in Jacardier Wright. He's a transfer from Kansas State, and he put up yards against people last year, and he's going to put up yards against people this year. The Kansas defense did a great job with him. I mean, now, I think they focused on him, and they swarmed him, and there was some run blitz in there. But, I mean, yeah. They held him to 40 yards. He had like 1.5 yard per carry. I thought the defense looked really good, especially in the second half, running to the football. You know, I thought Jason Bean was crisp. I don't think he did a whole lot, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little bit later. But I think you're going to see things open up a little bit. I thought, you know, as usual, I thought the KU running back group looked good. You know, the KU offensive line, once again, no hurries, no sacks. I mean, that's a pretty good night when you don't give up a quarterback hurry. I thought the special teams looked good. Nothing to be down about, but just they went out and took care of business. I mean, it's one of those games. It's a lesser opponent, but you know, in the end, they did what they were supposed to do. And I think somebody told me the final line ended up being 32 points. So, I mean, it was right on the Vegas line. So, hey, good opener to start things off.
No doubt. Now, we have a huge game this weekend, actually this Friday, as the Jayhawks face Illinois. I'm going to turn this over to John, and he's going to have Doug Bouchon on the line from our Illinois fan site on the Rivals Network to tell us more about this matchup on Friday.
We are joined by Doug Bouchon, who covers the Illinois beat for the Rivals.com network with Orange and Blue News. Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Hey, thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, this is a highly anticipated game. This is something the Kansas fans have been pointing to pretty much in the offseason. And now this week we've got the black jersey reveal, and everybody's the debate has been, does everybody dress in black and do a blackout? So it's definitely going to be a live atmosphere and should be a good one. You know, I just wanted to get your take. I watched that Toledo game. It, you know, went down to the last play, the last minute. What did you learn from Illinois after watching that one?
Well, the first thing I would say is you look around college football, and week one, there's so many surprises and anomalies, and it's, you take some things away from week one, but you also realize that the most of the improvement the teams have are from week one to week two. So we may see two entirely different teams, you know, on Friday night than we saw last weekend. But I learned one, that this is not the same defense that was one of the leaders in the nation last year. They were number one in scoring defense, number three in total defense. You know, they lost a lot in the back end of the defense, and I think that impacted them. They lost their defensive coordinator, who's the head coach at Purdue now, Ryan Walters. So not the same aggressive attacking defense that it was last year. They had trouble stopping the run against Toledo, against a dual threat quarterback, which, you know, they'll probably face again on Friday night against Kansas. So not the same defense. They're going to have to score more points. What really jumped out offensively was Luke Allmeyer, the transfer quarterback from Ole Miss. The kid has talent. I mean, we saw him in the spring, and we knew he had arm talent. We knew he had a good touch on the football. What we didn't know was that he was going to be really poised in the pocket, makes good decisions, can make plays with his feet surprisingly fast. You know, when he takes off running, you got to contend with him. So we wrote a story about him after the game, and I think Illinois fans were pretty excited from what they saw from Altmeyer.
You know, you talked about from week one to week two, and we've heard that cliche thrown out from college coaches over years and years. What do you expect the difference to be with Illinois from week one to week two?
Well, defensively, I think you'll see them play more of their starters. You know, they have an All-American defensive tackle in Dierzon Newton. His running mate, Keith Randolph, is a third-team preseason All-American. Two bookends that are really talented. But, you know, they left the field a lot. It was warm. It was humid. They were rotating a lot of guys up front. Hockey changes a lot of the time. I think they're going to want to see their stars on the field a little bit more. I think they're going to bring more pressure. They kind of set back. I think they were a little intimidated by the dual-threat quarterback from Toledo, Finn, who, you know, he's a talented kid. He's really quick, and they wanted to contain him. But I think they're going to be more aggressive. You know, they're going to want to get the running game going. I think Brett Bielema and offensive coordinator Barry Lemmy Jr. were disappointed in the running game, that they couldn't sustain it. They had some chunk plays with the run, but, you know, Bielema teams are going to want to run the ball. So they're going to want to establish the run with Reggie Love, who's a starting running back, try to get that going, run, you know, and not turn it into a shootout. But from what we saw, you know, on Saturday night, I think the running game is not quite as potent as it was with Chase Brown, who's now in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, you touched on the offense a little bit there, and Altmyer. Just tell me about talk about the offense, talk about the line, talk about the running backs, the receivers, who I keep hearing that, you know, the coaches really like what they have there at Illinois and the receivers. Just kind of break down the offense.
Well, the receivers are much improved, I think more because of experience than anything else. You know, they don't blow you away with their speed and quickness, but they run tight routes. They have really good hands. Pat Bryan on the outside at the X wide receiver spot, Isaiah Williams, who's probably their most quick twitch athlete in the slot, and they try to get him the ball, you know, in typical ways for a little guy like him on jet sweeps and bubble screens and quick hitters. And the short passing game was really highlighted against Toledo. They didn't go downfield all that much. One of the big plays was a fourth down long throw, but a lot of short stuff, a lot of intermediate stuff, get the ball out quick, and that's what they like to do. And they want to establish the running game. I mean, with Reggie Love, with Josh McCray, who come back from an injury, and get it going. Up front, you know, the left side of the line, of course, they really like. Isaiah Adams is an All-Big Ten type of left guard. Julian Pearl has NFL scouts looking at him. But then you look at the right side, and it's, you know, it's new guys, it's young guys. Josh Geske at guard got his first start of his career on Saturday, and the results weren't great. I mean, they protected Altmyer well. The pass pro was good, but the running game had some real issues with it. You know, they ran a lot of zone, and I think against Toledo's, you know, 3-3 stack defense, they had a lot of issues trying to figure out who to block. I mean, they do combo blocks, double team blocks, and then go chase the linebacker, and then they were blocking air at some times. So a lot to fix there, a lot to work on, and hopefully they get it cleaned up on Friday night.
You know, you talked about their D-line, their interior. They've had a lot of pub in the offseason. You know, tell us a little bit about more, you know, the linebackers and the secondary. I know there were some – they had some legit guys there last year that they lost, but maybe talk about the back end of that defense.
Well, in the back end, they lost four starters, and one of those was Devin Weatherspoon, who was the number 5 overall draft pick. So you can't – I mean, you can't replace that. You know, you plug guys in, and they've recruited pretty well. They think they have some talent, but it's just not the same. Those guys had a lot of experience. One thing they did really well was disguise coverages and do a lot of pre-snap movement. And they're not doing that as much with the lack of experience. But the free safety, Miles Scott was the, you know, Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, co-defensive player of the week. And co-defensive player of the week. He had an interception for a touchdown, a pick six, which kind of changed the momentum of the game. He's not as physical as the guys that they've had at safety before, but he's really fast and a good cover guy. The corners, Tyler Strain, coming off a little bit of an injury, but he's a starter. Tavion Nicholson is a returning starter at the field side corner. A good player. He's not Devin Weatherspoon, but he's pretty good. And then their starting strong safety, Matthew Bailey, still hasn't played and didn't play all a fall camp because of a foot injury, but they're expecting him back next week against Penn State. The strength, you know, in that kind of second tier is the outside backers, Seth Coleman and Gabe Akis. But honestly, they didn't have a very good game against Toledo. They struggled with the speed of Daquan Finn, the quarterback, gave away the edge quite a bit, and they got to be a lot more. They have to be more aggressive, I think, against Kansas on Friday night.
You know, you mentioned Isaiah Adams. I know he was one of the guys that maybe got banged up a little bit. I know KU fans, he broke their heart because I think at one time there, people were projecting that he may pick Kansas, and at the last second, he visited Illinois and picked them. I know he was one of the guys that went down but maybe came back up. And, you know, with KU playing on Friday, we had a lot of fans on our message board that were able to watch Illinois on Saturday night. And we've had a lot ask about what's the latest on some of the injury status of guys that went out. Do you have any update on the injuries?
Yeah, Tyler Strain went out with a concussion. He went through, he's the cornerback, went through concussion protocol and was back practicing today and expect him to play. Kind of the same deal with Isaiah Adams. He's their best lineman, and that would leave a really big hole if he's not in there. But he had a unspecified lower body injury. He had an MRI that came up negative, and he was back practicing today. So both guys expected to play on Friday.
All right, this is my last question, wrapping it up. I mean, how do you see this game playing out, and what's your prediction?
You know, I think the home field advantage, you know, says something. I think Kansas, you know, with all the returning talent, I think they have more continuity than Illinois, who's kind of rebuilding a little bit on defense. I think it has the potential to be a high-scoring game, and I hope it is. It's fun, you know, watch guys going up and down the field. But I see Kansas pulling it out. I think the spread is 3, and I see them beating the spread, maybe a 4 or 5 point win. And I think in my game preview, I'm leaning on 31-27. And I think Illinois is going to have trouble with their quarterbacks, whichever one plays, you know, and that's going to be the key for them on defense.
That is Doug Bouchon, who does a great job over at the Illinois site and our network. And Doug, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll see an entertaining game on Friday.
I'll see you over there. My first trip to Kansas.
All right, Doug, take care. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks.
Great stuff there from Doug. And I think that KU offensive line versus the Illinois defensive line is going to be a key to this game. Kirby, I want to know, give me 3 things that you're looking for in this matchup on Friday.
Yeah, Randy, I just touched on it. One where I talked about Jason Bean, and you know, he was clean and everything was pretty simple. And leading up to the game, I asked Andy Kotelnicki, I said, you know, when you go into an opponent like this, is everything open? Are you going to open up the playbook? And he goes, absolutely. The playbook is open. We're going to, you know, run everything. Well, he kind of told a little fib to us, because I mean, he did not do that. He kept things very vanilla, very simple. So to me, I think one of the keys is going to be what he does offensively, because you know, Illinois does have some guys up front, but they had trouble getting after that Toledo quarterback. And now that Toledo quarterback is probably faster and more elusive and shiftier than Daniels. He's probably a more natural runner than Bean. Combined, they're kind of, you know, similar to him. But that guy was really good in the open field, and those Illinois guys were gas. So I'm looking for Kotelnicki. He's not going to sit here and do it again against Missouri State. He's not going to line up and play some smash mouth and knock them off the ball like he did. They're not going to do that to Illinois. So I'm looking for the creativity that we have gotten to know from him. When he opens things up, he's always going to have a few bags in his, you know, a few tricks in the bag. So that's one of the things to me. Obviously, the next thing is the return and the health of Jalen Daniels. I 100% expect Jalen Daniels to play. Who's going to start and who's going to be under center? I don't know that we'll know that. We may not know that till they actually kick it off. So, but Jalen Daniels is going to play. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind on that. And then Randy, the third, if there was something else I'd have to say, it just goes back. It sounds like a cliche, but the battle in the trenches, because Illinois is your typical Big Ten football team. They are big and they are strong. I guarantee you, when KU fans are there and the teams come out and they start lining up, they're going to say, man, Illinois has some good looking guys, because they are a big physical team. And I've said this on the board. They are set up, Randy, in the Big Ten to stop Iowa and Wisconsin and Minnesota and Nebraska. That style of play, that's how Illinois is built. I mean, they might have been the number one scoring defense or 2 scoring defense in the country last year. Now, obviously, they have some legit secondary guys that left the program. They breaking in some new guys there. But it is going to be important that Kansas matches some physicality of Illinois. And they're not going to sit here and try to slug it out with Illinois. And that takes me back to what I said about Kotelnicki. They're not going to line up and go helmet to helmet, because that would be a mistake. But they still, to some degree, have to match physicality with them.
All right, John, here's the time where we get into our predictions for this game. Tell me how you see this one playing out on Friday night.
Well, first of all, Randy, I love that this one's at home, right? This one's in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that is a big thing. Yeah, I think I saw Vegas had the game at maybe it was up to 4. Now it's down to 3. So I don't know if money's come in on Illinois or not for that thing to go down. But when Vegas has it as a 3-point game, they're basically saying, we think it's even, Steven. We're going to give a, you know, a 3-point buffer to the home team. So I'm glad this one's at home. It's going to be a physical game. I can't wait to watch it. I'm excited to be there. Illinois is going to want to play their style of game. And man, we haven't even talked about the black uniforms. So, I mean, you know, they're going to come out in the black uniforms.
So fantastic.
I did. Oh, they were clean. I thought it was a clean look. And, you know, they're going to be out in those. The players are pumped up. You know, they're hoping to have a blackout. You know, they're trying to spread the message to KU fans to wear the black. So, you know, listen, when I look at Illinois, I watch their whole game against Toledo, which, by the way, man, God, I got home on Friday a little after midnight after the Missouri State game, was up till past 1, got back up at 6, started looking at the PFF grades. Randy, I'll tell you, I did nothing on Saturday but lay on the couch. I did. you're going to be like me tomorrow. You're going to be sitting on the couch all day tomorrow, but I did nothing but watch football. I mean, I had two TVs going, watched every play of that Toledo-Illinois game, and I thought the Altmaier kid, I thought he was sharp, the quarterback. I mean, high percentage throws, made a lot of good decisions. He made one bad decision, but he ran the ball much better than I thought he was going to. So, you know, it'll be interesting because I thought the Illinois defensive front, which is what the preseason pub has been around that front, I thought they had trouble with the mobile quarterback. So I think Kotelniki's going to have something schemed up. I think the defense can get enough stops. I'm gonna go to the Jayhawks moving on to 2-0 with a 28-24 win. Do you feel good enough to give me a prediction?
I do, and you know what? We don't have the exact same numbers, but we are really dang close again. I, too, am picking the Jayhawks Friday night to stop Illinois in Lawrence. I'm going to go 31-24. I think KU gets it done, and like you pointed to, everybody's talked about it. The key matchup in this game is the Kansas offensive line against that Illinois defensive front. Scott Fuchs has, I'm not going to say the man's got his work cut out for him because I have been very open since this staff came here. He is one of the best offensive line coaches in the country at any level, in my opinion. He will be ready. He has a scheme ready for Illinois. They are going to, I think they're going to dictate just how physical this game is going to be up front. And I think Kansas does move on to 2-0. Now that we've given our predictions, Kirby, any news on the recruiting trail as we continue with our second straight Friday night game for the Jayhawks?
Yeah, Randy, there's not right now. I think there's going to be a few guys from Butler County Community College there. There may be an out-of-state recruit who doesn't have an offer or anything at the game. And I've said this all along that, you know, the first couple of weeks are going to be slow. And then that BYU game now, it's going to ramp up because now you're back to a traditional Saturday game. I think the BYU game is going to be near a sellout. Okay, I think the BYU crowd is going to be better than the crowd for the Illinois game. I have heard the BYU fans are buying tickets up left and right, so I think that'll be fun. I think we're going to have a lot of recruits for that. An interesting one, and I'll throw this out, and I'll end on this one. Christian Thatcher, a linebacker from Nevada, had a chance to talk to him. I'll have a little story on him. Mom, he's got family in Kansas City. Mom used to live in Raytown. Now he's in Nevada now. Oh. He is a big time player now. He is a 4-star type guy, and you know the Jayhawks might hang in there. Some old Kansas City connections. So we'll when you feel better on the next one, we'll definitely get into some more recruiting.
Sounds good. That does it for this edition of the Inside Slant pregame podcast. You are now primed and ready for the Jayhawks Friday night matchup in the Black Hawk uniforms that are so phenomenal. See, and get ready for we watch them square off against Illinois in a huge non-conference tilt. We've updated you on basketball recruiting. You got the latest from the football recruiting trail. We previewed the matchup. You heard the perspective from behind enemy lines from Doug Bouchon on the Illinois site on the Rivals Network. You are ready for Friday night. For our man Shea Wildeboer on the men's basketball beat, for John Kirby representing Kansas football, the longest tenured man on the KU football beat. I'm Randy Withers. You've been listening to the Inside Slant Podcast. We will talk with you again soon.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.